Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we'll discuss recognition and how to bring out the best in your team. Then we'll hear some teaching from Dave, who will explain how to amplify the success of your business through recognition and inspiration. Finally, we have got an interview with a freak, a leadership freak, Dan Rockwell, a true Entree leader and founder of the blog Leadership Freak. Now, before I go any further, I want to say thank you. You guys are making the Entree Leadership Podcast absolutely amazing. Our very first podcast shot to the top of the charts. Immediately went to number one on business, number two overall, and has continued to be very successful. So we want to say thank you. You have done an incredible job of making this something that is well known. And I want to say to the production team who is in the booth right now, thank you guys who have done an amazing job creating an incredible podcast. That's right. High fives all around, all around. And hey, it makes me feel really good. It's kind of like a Sally Field moment for me, Mefford. You know, I'm like, you like me. You really do. Which they're like, we don't even know who you are. Well, who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo. I will be your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. I have been a part of Dave's team for almost 11 years now, and I have been helping to spread the message of financial hope and leadership principles to audiences everywhere. I teach the three-day Entree Leadership here in Nashville, and I'm a part of the very big Entree Leadership Master Series that we do around the country with Dave. I teach a couple of those lessons. Dave teaches everything else, but we also bring a huge team in of our leadership. Because what we do is we spend the rest of our time coaching one-on-one with businesses. It is an absolutely amazing time. It is something that if you are a leader out there wanting to grow your business, wanting to expand your team, wanting to find out the things that you've done right, the things that you've done wrong, how to fix those things, then this is a great event to come to. About this podcast, what can you expect? Well, every single podcast, our goal is to give you information, to give you lessons, to give you nuggets of things that are going to change your leadership, that are going to grow your business and the way you lead your team, and hopefully your leadership team as well. The thing is, we don't want this to just be a one-way deal. We want to hear from you as well. We want to hear what you think. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your questions. There's a couple of ways you can do this. The first way is you can follow us on Twitter, at Entree Leadership. That is at ENTRE Leadership, as well as through email, podcast@entreeleadership.com. Here's the deal. We want to hear what you think of this podcast. We've already gotten a great number of tweets. We've already gotten a great number of emails of people saying how much they love it and how much they could not wait for the next episode. That's exactly what we want to hear. But we also want to hear your questions. What do you want to know from us? One of my favorite ones recently was when we brought Simon Sinek the video, and we also had the interview that you got to hear. But the way that that all came about is one of our guys, Mike Pappas, who was at the time, he was an event coordinator. He's now working with our speakers group, but he was an event coordinator, not an EVP, not a VP, not a team leader. One of the guys on the team who was sitting home at nighttime watching TED Talks and came across Simon Sinek and was blown away. He immediately sent an email that night to Dave saying, hey, listen, I believe our team needs to see this. And our next staff meeting, we watched a 20-minute video of Simon Sinek. Now, for us, we're like, hey, that's pretty cool. As we mentioned that, one of the questions came in through podcast@entreeleadership.com where somebody said, how in the world did that happen? There's no possible way I could do that at my business. If I don't follow the chain of command, I might get fired. If I tried to shoot something to the CEO of the company, I probably would get fired. I would definitely get reprimanded. How does that happen? And wow, that's stunning to us. That's shocking to us. Should there be a chain of command? Always. Of course there needs to be a chain of command. Definitely. But this isn't a, you know, situation that's going to destroy the company. It's somebody who's saying to the CEO, hey, I think I found a piece of information that could help out our team. And in this company, we have leaders that are accessible. So if that's not you, if that's not the way you're running your business, that might be something that you want to think about. How can you be accessible to your team? Last podcast, we had an incredible interview with Dan Cathy, Chief Operating Officer of Chick-fil-A, talking about servant leadership. And let me say, folks, again, in our world, there is no greater leadership than servant leadership. You have to be holding your team up, not the other way around. As people come through Entree Leadership, they always hear me say one thing. I believe your job is to make your team successful. Plain and simple. If you will focus your time on making them successful, in turn, they will make you successful. As Dan said in the interview, who is his customer? His customer is not me. His customer is not you. It's not the person coming in and buying the chicken sandwich. His customer is the 60,000 people working for Chick-fil-A. If he takes care of them, they will take care of him. This week's lesson, Dave is going to tell you exactly what it takes to build a great team of champions. One of the things I want you to hear in this lesson is you need to catch your team doing it right. So many times we as leaders, we as entrepreneurs, we have no problem finding our team members doing something wrong. The issue is we spend a heck of a lot less time finding them doing something right. That is something that I want you to focus on. So, here is Dave Ramsey with one of the most important lessons that you will learn as a leader.
Ken Blanchard says the last applause most people got was at their high school graduation. The last time somebody caught them doing something right. Last time anybody clapped for them. People are motivated by, starved for, and long for acceptance. They're motivated by, starved for, and long for approval, appreciation, attention, affection. Recognize people. I had a lady for a while that worked in one of our departments, the sales department. She was from Brooklyn with this fabulous Brooklyn accent, sitting amongst a bunch of Southerners. We used to just go up and just listen to her talk. It was fun. Like a zoo animal, just watch her interaction. You know, it was amazing. But she was something else. She was a classic off-the-scale high I. She didn't even show up on the other three. Just in orbit all the time. The absolute party looking for a place to happen. People person from now on. Smiling. But this was her. These five things were her. There's no question about it. I could walk up there and just walk over there and just touch her on the shoulder appropriately, okay? And say, Kathy, you are a rock star. You're a superstar. Your sales are incredible. I've never seen anybody sell like you. You're a superstar. And I got where I never called her Kathy. I just called her superstar. And now she emails me. She's been gone about 5 years, I guess. She went on to work for her family business. And she emails me, and she never signs her emails. 5 years later, with Kathy, she still signs them superstar. People long for approval, attention, affection. They long for these things. That wasn't manipulative. She really was a superstar. I wasn't kidding with her. I wasn't making it up to make her feel good. But she was one of those people that, when you did that, it just, she blossomed right before your eyes. Every time you said it, her body language had changed. She couldn't keep a smile off her face. It really didn't take much. And she just, all you had to do is do that about once a week, and she'd just stay in orbit. I mean, she just boom, man. She was excited all the time, which is a great person to have around. Those are fun people. She yearned for people interaction. You know, she's one of those that when she was a little kid, you didn't have to punish her. You just had to remove her from people. And she would just, that would be it, right? Boom. Catch people doing something right. Instead, what do we do? Marcus Buckingham talks about this. He says, your kid comes in with five A's and one C. What do we parents do? I can't keep myself from it. I'm like, what's up with the C? Instead of going, you're a rock star. What's wrong with that teacher in that other class? But no, I'm all over the C. I'm like, you know, you missed a C. What is this? My son graduated with a 3.93. I'm going, where's the 4.0? You're 7/100ths of a point off. Why do you do that? Why do we do that? I really didn't do that. But I mean, you know, we need to spend our time catching people doing something right. I love this quote from a Hall of Fame goalie. He says, how would you like a job where every time you made a mistake, a red light goes on and 18,000 people boo? Average NHL goalie is stopping a puck, a piece of rubber coming at them anywhere from 80 to 110 miles an hour, and they stop it 52 times in a game and miss one. That's the average. And that's, you know, that's at the pro level, playing 80 games a year and getting the crud knocked out of them, bruises in places that we didn't even know we had. You know, and this is how we act as fans. You're a bum! You let one in! You're a bum! Banging on the glass. You know, and that's a guy who doesn't even have a job. Don't flatter or falsely compliment, because then sincere recognition has no credibility. Don't make stuff up. I mean, find things that are real. There's enough people doing enough right. You can catch them doing something right. Bring it up when they do something right. Say so. Look for opportunities to brag on people. When I take my phone and my yellow pad and I go walking around, I laughingly tell Patty I'm going to do management by walking around. I'm going to go spread hate and dissension. And what I'm doing is I'm looking for things to correct, but not on the spot. I'll get with a leader later and correct them. But, you know, I'm also trying to catch somebody doing something right. I want to walk up behind somebody, that young lady doing the Spanish, you know, sales, and she's in Spanish and all this. I have no idea what she's saying, but she's all, you know, gesturing and she's making sales, and she's just been on board a few weeks, and Liza's already, she's a rock star. And, you know, so when she got off the phone, I was able to just go, man, I have no idea what you said, but apparently it's working. I saw the numbers. You know, look at this. You are doing good. This is why you came on board, and look, you're doing it. We know what winning looks like. We measure winning, and right here it is. You're winning. Good job, kiddo. She smiled and said, I worked at the other place 3 years, and I never even saw the president of the organization, and I for sure never had the president of the organization come 17 notches down the organization chart and tell me I just did a good job. Right? How long did that take? 17, 18 seconds? Didn't take up a big part of my day. Just have to be intentional about it. For they refused my spirit, or refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. Be a refresher of spirits. Send notes of appreciation as well as thank you notes. Jack Galloway is king of this. I remember when Jack first came to work for us, he had been trained in sales, and good salespeople that have been trained in sales know to, after you've had a sales meeting, I had a presentation with someone, you need to send a handwritten note back to that person thanking them for their time and, you know, reminding them that you're going to be back in touch with them for a follow-up. And that's a good quality, high-class sales technique, obviously, when you're making one-on-one sales in the marketplace of size. And so Jack had been trained in that way. He was trained in the financial world. He came in to run our ELP program, our Strategic Alliances program. And so he came to us. There was probably 15 or 20 of us working there. And he came and said, Dave, I want to order some stationery. Now, you know, I'm an old redneck. I have no use for stationery. I don't understand stationery. He wanted his own embossed personal stationery. And I'm like, Jack, really? I mean, why? He said, well, I like to send notes to people of appreciation. I like to catch people doing something right. I went, all right, how much are you going to spend? He told me. I went, okay, whatever. I just wasted some money. I'll tell you what, the guy is a genius. We have almost 2,000 endorsed local providers, about 2,200 actually right now, around the nation of various kinds. Real estate agents, mutual fund brokers, CPAs, health insurance people, and a large number of them, I don't know the percentage exactly, but a bunch of them have gotten a personal note from Jack at one time or another if they've been with us for a couple years. And Jack runs about 40 per person team, the whole thing. He doesn't have interaction with those people personally. But he hears about one of them doing something right. He reads a report or a customer sending in a letter bragging on, hey, I hired that realtor in Omaha and they did a great job. And Jack will send them a note in Omaha from him on Jack Galloway personal stationery. He sends me notes telling me I'm doing a good job. He sends Sharon notes at home and they come in our mailbox, telling her she's doing a good job. Sharon loves Jack. Well, who wouldn't? Right? I got so inspired, I got me some stationery with Dave Ramsey on it. I've never used it, but I got some. Dude, you get a written note from me, you're probably dying of cancer or something. So, oh, man. No, I've actually done written notes a couple times. I don't do them much, but I try to do that. I decided I was going to do it to my competition last year. They came out with the ratings of all the top talk radio shows in America. And the ones that I knew, whether they were small regional guys or whether they were big dogs or whatever, I cut out their picture and their rating, you know, you're number 21 talker in the nation or whatever you are, and sent them a note telling them they're doing a good job and, hey, congratulations, you're really doing cool, and put their copy of their clipping in there and sent it to every one of them that I knew. Sent it to Glenn, sent it to Rush, sent it to Sean. And I sent it to the, you know, the little regional guys that I know, and Doug Steffen, and, you know, these guys that are number 50 or whatever. If they showed up in the top 100, they call it the heavy 100, I sent them a note for that. I just thought, well, that'd be fun. You would not believe. Of course, none of these people have egos. But it was amazing. And I did actually hand write out those notes. I took, you know, a little bit of time. You have to be careful to read it because I'm not very good. I type for a reason. But and I get embarrassed when I misspell something then, too, so I have to write it over. So it's ridiculous. I'm not very good at it. But I'll tell you, a handwritten note in this day and age carries a lot of weight. It really does. Here's interesting ones talking about the stuff, talking about some of the things we've been talking about. These are notes I've gotten from my team. A whole bunch of my team has copied Jack. Apparently, I'm buying a lot of stationery. Jennifer, who's Jack's personal assistant, wow, thanks so much for the fabulous profit-sharing check. Once again, you've been more than generous. Dave, thanks so much for the awesome profit-sharing check. This is from Rebecca, also on Jack's team. I received yesterday, when I stop to think about how God has been, how good God has been to place me here, I'm overwhelmed from the way I grow spiritually, mentally, and financially. I can't see being at a better place. Richard sends me a note, one of our guys in content. Thanks for the delightful party you just gave us, the generous gifts, for the work that matters, and for living the life you teach. I'm so very pleased to be part of this team. May God continue to bless you both. Send it to Dave and Sharon. Chris sends us one of our ad guys. You've really impacted our lives, Dave and Sharon, both on a personal, professional level. Last night was a great party. So after some of these were after different parties. We throw stuff, you know, all kinds of fun stuff for the team all the time. And it's part of this recognition, part of this inspiration thing. That's them back to me. Well, guess what? I do the same thing. If you're on our team and it's your birthday, you get an email from me. Happy birthday. Statistics have proven that birthdays are good for you. The more of them you have, the longer you live. Don't tell anybody, but I didn't really send the email. There's 300 people. Patty has them auto-loaded. As soon as they come on board, part of their onboarding is it's auto-loaded, and they're already pre-typed, and they automatically go out every morning. I get a copy of it so that if I see you and you say, thanks for the note, I have a clue what you're talking about. But why not, right? You would be amazed the emails I get back. Dave, I can't believe you took time to send me an email. I didn't. But, you know, but I mean, you know, happy birthday to an adult? It's a big deal. So just take time to do a few things like that. It doesn't have to be manipulative, and you actually can automate it. It's not all bad. Oh, my goodness. Send notes or brag about someone to their spouse or to their parents. I remember one of the coolest ones I did because I got inspired by this kind of thing was I sent one of my top guys' wife a bouquet of flowers, not roses. I didn't want to be, you know, nice flowers, you know, for the home kind of a thing, with a note handwritten by me bragging on what a stud he is, how awesome this guy is. I don't know if you know about your husband or not, but he's incredible. When he gets home, guess what? He's welcome home. Right? She's going to be there going, who knew? You're good, you know? I'm put in an unusually cool position, and many of you won't get the opportunity, but because we have the radio show on the glass in our building, when you walk into the lobby, there's a big glass wall, and I'm right there in that, you know, in that little hole doing my show, and I come out at breaks and meet people, but it's not unusual at all for people to have their parents, when they're visiting in town, or their brother or their sister or whatever, come down and look at the show, and they tour them through our building and all that kind of a stuff, so I get the unusual opportunity to meet a lot of my people's parents. And wow, what a cool thing to look a dad in the eye and go, you did good with this one. Thanks for loaning us this one. She is incredible. She's one of our top customer service people. I don't know what all you guys taught her when she was at home, but it worked. This one's incredible. Does that cost you anything? No. I'm not saying it if it's not the truth. But guess what? If it's not the truth, they don't get to work there long. I don't keep the ones that aren't incredible. So I get the opportunity to brag on the people that we love that are our team to their parents. And there's not a dad or mom in the world. I don't care if they're 86. Their body language changes. They suddenly stand up just a little bit straighter because their kid's a rock star. And their boss knows it. How cool is that? It doesn't take much to say thank you, to recognize people. And I don't know about you, but over the years, I get too busy. And I'm all about getting it done, especially those of us that are high D's and high C's. We're task-oriented. We're not on that people scale. And some of you are going, this is so touchy-feely. I wish you'd get back to work. I am at work. I'm leading.
I love that lesson. That lesson right there has made me a much better leader. That lesson has made our leadership much better leaders. I love teaching that lesson and watching leaders and entrepreneurs in the event go, I don't do that. I really need to do that. The thing is you have got to spend time taking care of your team. You have got to do just these little things like writing a card, sending a card to one of your team members, getting some stationery that has got your name on it and write something super nice on it and then give it to them. I have always been blown away when I will write somebody a card a week later, I come by their cubicle, and my card is pinned up on their cube. I'm like, that's the card I just wrote you. And they're like, yeah, it inspires me. I like having it there. I like to look up there and see that. I'm like, wow, it did that? I had one of my team members, I walked by her desk, and she had her journal sitting on her desk. Sticking out of the journal was a card that I had written her a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, is that the card I wrote you? And she's like, yeah. Every day when I write in my journal, I move the card like a bookmark and I get to read it again. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's big. That's huge. That is something you should be doing as a leader. You need to be doing the $50 handshakes. I know, Chris, when we did Entree Leadership, I think we were on the road. We did an event. We did Entree Leadership Master Series. We were gone for like 10 days. And I sent out to all y'all spouses a nice card, a gift card to a restaurant to say to them, thank you for allowing your spouse to come and help change lives. And the response was great. I mean, I was blown away. I got cards back from the spouses saying, nobody does that. Nobody gives the spouse a gift card because, you know, their spouse went out and did some work or was gone for a while. Find little things that you can do. Find little things that motivate your team. Find little things that inspire your team. But and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, by the way. I think I gave them like a $50 restaurant card. Is that correct? Yeah. The $50 restaurant card. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It just has to be something that you think about. Put some thought into it. If you want to know more about Entree Leadership, which that was right there, that was a lesson from Entree Leadership Master Series that we do around the country. Entree Leadership is an event that we do in a few ways. We have got our one-day event. We've got the simulcast that we do. But we've also got the big events. I teach the three-day version here in Nashville, which is 20 lessons worth of information. It is intense. When you leave, your brain is smoking, but you get a lot of incredible information. We take that same event, and we have been doing for 7-8 years now, a week-long version of that with Dave. Dave, myself, another leader as well. We teach the lessons. Dave does almost all of it. But we bring a huge leadership team down to work and coach with the leaders, with the entrepreneurs, one-on-one. This is one of the biggest takeaways that our attendees have. The event is incredible. It's at a nice high-end resort. There's a lot of high-end gifts. I mean, it is phenomenal. But we also get to provide leadership that does one-on-one coaching, sitting with the owner, sitting with the leader, tearing apart their business, finding the problems, finding the things that they can do, putting it back together and saying, here, go and do. After the event, we always get incredible comments about how much the attendees loved exactly that. So if you would like to find out what way is going to work for you of attending Entree Leadership, make sure that you go to entreeleadership.com. Next up is our interview with Dan Rockwell. Dan is a pastor and leader coach. He is founder of the blog Leadership Freak. Through the blog, Dan helps others develop the tools to fulfill their own higher purposes. He also passes along the wisdom of some of America's top business minds. This guy is getting out there and speaking to incredible leaders from around the country. We found him because so many of our leadership team was already reading his blog. Our leaders are emailing back and forth, hey, listen, you have got to read this guy's blog. It is some good information. We looked up, we found out, crud, most of our leadership or all of our leadership is reading his blog. We've got to talk to this guy. So we actually flew Dan in, put him in the studio, and had an interview with him. Helping out with the interview is Dave Ramsey team member John Acuff. He is the founder of the popular blog Stuff Christians Like, and recently released his third book. Quitter, Closing the Gap Between Your Day Job and Your Dream Job, is already a Wall Street Journal bestseller. John is part of the speakers group with me, and we are extremely excited that he is here and being a part of the team. He's doing an incredible job traveling around the country, speaking to people, teaching people. So we love having him aboard. So without any further ado, let me turn it on over to John and Dan, Leadership Freak Rockwell.
I'm here with Dan Rockwell, the Leadership Freak, and we're excited to talk to you today, Dan, about leadership. And you're able to speak to that from a number of different places. You've got a great background that ranges from construction and design to pastoral ministry to theology and business. Huge experience on the leadership front. You've been doing it for years. You started a blog very, very recently, just a year ago. You've already seen the traffic just skyrocket. Twitter, you get on Twitter, it goes from zero to over 40,000 followers in a year. You're involved in social media. It's difficult to go through your bio because there's so many different things, so many different angles you're approaching leadership from. You're from Pennsylvania, been married for 35 years, three kids, three grandchildren, loving life, and you're the Leadership Freak. Where did you come up with that title?
I've always been one of those freakish kind of individuals. What can you say? So it's really about finding a name that expressed passion, that expressed being on the edge. As my friends would say, maybe I'm over the edge, but being on the edge. Mm-hmm. So freak, like in like sports freak, leadership freak.
When did you begin to think of yourself as a leader? Was there a season in your life? Has it changed over time, that word for you?
Right. Well, I was always tall. And I think that helped. From first grade, I was like 6 inches over
everybody. Not had that problem.
I noticed that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But being tall, honestly, there is an advantage. Let's face it. So, and I was always outgoing. I always saw myself as a leader. But it really took me about 30 years to figure out that leadership wasn't about me. And so there was a real shift after being a leader, quote, leader, and engaged in leadership activities to understand, you know what? Leadership isn't about me at all. And that's when I started to learn about leadership.
What are some of the things that you wish, if you could go back to the Dan Rockwell of 30 years ago, knowing what you've learned over those three decades about leadership and what that really means, what are some of the things you'd tell that person?
I would tell that person to be vision-driven. You just have to think about where you're going to go. You can't go day by day trying to figure out, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go ahead and focus on a project or follow the thing that's the hottest thing right then. You really need to be vision-driven. And behind that is values-based. What am I really about? What I'm learning about these days is that it is important, it's necessary for me to know who I am so that I can then express that vision in ways that are consistent with who I am so that I'm not under stress or pressure. I'm just expressing who Dan Rockwell is.
One of the things that we love about you is your blog. We read it here. That's part of how we discovered you. We're fans of that. As you interact with all the different people that come to your blog or come to your Twitter feed, what are the topics of leadership you're finding most common, the questions they have, the struggles, the challenges?
A lot of people write me notes about culture, organizational culture. They struggle with bosses that are detached or not paying attention, or bosses that maybe take the credit for what they did. So I see a lot of that. I see some of inner office struggles. But the biggest thing is a culture of oppression, a culture that just seems like they feel like they're held down. They feel like they're not being lifted up and encouraged.
Well, it's great that you mentioned being encouraged because the topic of today's particular podcast is recognition. And it's something that you're familiar with. You've written about it before. In fact, you have a quote on your blog that talks about positive comments, gratitude, and encouragement have power to fuel another's fire. What have you seen are great ways that people can encourage each other, or great ways that they can express recognition in a way that's valuable to the employee and the team and the culture?
Right, right. I was thinking about the idea of recognition on the way down, and not because I knew what we were doing here, but it just happened to pop into my mind. I was writing some stuff about it. And, you know, it's one thing to go to somebody and say thanks. Thank you. You did a good job. But I think there are some other ways that are so important and so useful. Being excited or enthusiastic about what somebody else is doing is a great way to show them recognition. You know, to say, it's better than saying, hey, thanks for what you did. It's saying, I see that you're doing this. Very exciting, very useful. You know, bop into somebody's office who just finished a project and say, you know, the results of your project are this. The people are impacted this way because of what you did. Talking to them, not just about, hey, thanks for your job, but do you realize that our clients now are better able to achieve their objectives because of what you did?
Have you had a time in your life when another leader recognized you and that set some positive things in motion?
I sure have. First grade. Mrs. Goodwin was my first grade teacher, and she sent us out one day to get rocks. And I was a tall kid.
So you got the highest rocks.
Yeah, I got the... I wanted to be impressive, too. Always been kind of like the guy who wanted to be in the spotlight, you know. And I brought in this colossal rock. All the other students brought in these small rocks. And I bring in this rock where I'm really struggling. Now, as a 5 or 6-year-old, it wasn't colossal, but it, you know, compared...
Relatively speaking, it was a boulder.
Relatively speaking, it was Pike's Peak. So in we come. Now, she has an opportunity at this point. What do you say to a kid who has obviously gone off the deep edge, freakishly off the deep
right.
edge? And she just said, oh, Danny, and that's my real name, Danny, that is so incredible. And she put that rock right in the middle of the desk, and all the other little rocks gathered around. You know, I mean, I think back about that, and I think, here's an opportunity where you acknowledge someone. Even if it's, you know, in this case, obviously I didn't know, but it gave me confidence.
That's great. I have a similar story in that when I was in the third grade, our teacher, we weren't doing books at the time, creating books, but she asked me to create a book of some of the poetry I'd been writing, and she laminated it and strung it together with string, and I felt like I had been published, that the lamination sealed it for me. I was official. And that, for me, is one of those kind of hinge moments I look back on and go, that's one of the ways along the way that I knew I wanted to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that kind of, and it was so simple, but it meant so much to me that she recognized I liked to write, and just a couple extra questions and a couple extra actions changed the way I looked at writing and set me along the way. So that's neat to hear your story about the first grade. You wrote on another post, one of the best things leaders do is bring out the best in others. Bringing out the best includes instilling confidence by expressing gratitude. In what ways can a great leader express their gratitude and recognize team members? So it's a weekday. I'm a business owner. I'm listening to this right now. What's something that I can do tomorrow or something I can do next week? What's an applicable thing I can do?
The first thing is what we were just talking about. Be enthusiastic about what somebody's doing. So you go in and say, hey, I see what you're doing. Focus on effort as well as outcome. We spend a lot of time focusing on outcomes. So you got to do this. You made your sales target. But nobody really says, I noticed you stayed late the other day. So focus on effort. Because sometimes the outcome doesn't turn out like you expect. Maybe the economy goes down. There's some other issue. But the person is still putting in the effort. So if you focus on effort, you know, you get to reinforce that particular activity. I think another thing is don't nitpick people. Leaders have a tendency to want to improve everything. And I think that is such a demotivator. Instead of, you know, saying, I see what you're doing, but you know, if you did this, and it's adding that little infinitesimal improvement, the best thing to do is just say, wow, you know, I see what you're doing. It's awesome. Keep it up.
That's great. I love the effort, not just outcome, because You often wait for the outcome and you miss that chance. You can praise effort today in the moment as the project's being worked on. Not the outcome might not be for six more months and think people have moved on and you've missed that window, like you said, to reinforce that good behavior. Yeah. Do you think that one of the reasons leaders don't say the wow and continue to nitpick is that they feel insecure and want to show that they're adding value to something and they're afraid to just go wow because what if I just wow this? I've been in corporate situations where we'll have a project work its way up the chain and you can see that there were just some pieces moved around that didn't add a whole lot of value, but we got to see that that person had touched them. Do you think that's a temptation for leaders?
I think there's a temptation to want to be involved. There's a temptation to want to add value. There's a temptation to make sure the right people get the credit. I mean, in the downside, not all leaders are like this, but some are. They want to make sure that they get the credit. There's a structure. The right people have to have the light shined on them. And some of it is just a sincere desire to improve. And I think that's probably the most dangerous of all because we can see the other. We can see the selfish leader. Everybody knows he's worried about who gets the credit.
The power play is obvious.
Yeah. But the person who is sincere and really wants to do good and comes in and says, hey, have you thought about this? It's like taking the wind out of somebody's sails. You know, instead of encouraging them.
And we only see the positive in that situation. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it. Have you ever failed as a leader in recognition? Is that something that, you know, you talk about the 30-year span. What are some of those moments where you go, I'd love to redo this one? Oh, it can be recognition focused. It can be any other topic of leadership that you'd say, you know what, if I could tell people listening to a podcast this one story and it would help them in their story, this is what I would say.
You know, I have 30 years of doing things wrong, so I should be smart. I should be smarter than I am, but there are so many things that I've done wrong, and one of them is that nitpicking thing. That's a really bad one. Another one is not being focused enough. Another one is not working through resistance. You have a friend, you're sitting down, you're working with a team, and someone says, well, maybe that's not the best idea, blah, you know, and all of a sudden, rather than work through resistance to really achieve that particular objective, we kind of step back and say, maybe you're right. And in the end, we paralyze ourselves. I think part of that is the pursuit of perfection. And in my mind, perfection is the enemy of progress. You can't be like waiting to get everything together. You have to have enough chutzpah. You have to have enough vision to say, no, this objective is worth it. Let's go for it.
That's great. That's great. One of the things that I feel was a failure was a conversation we had. I used to work for Autotrader.com, and we took a trip up to some other companies to learn about customer service. And we had a company say to us, well, people already know what they're doing well. They want to know what they can fix and get better at. And so their policy was essentially, we don't recognize good stuff. We just point out ways for people to improve. What do you think that kind of approach does to an environment?
It's so cool that you bring that up because what happened for me, I would say maybe 10 years into leading the organization I lead now, we made a decision at a leadership retreat that we were not going to try to fix the things that were wrong. We go away for a weekend and say, what are we going to do next year? And and the question became, what are we bad at? What are we not doing well? So then we come back and say, well, we need to fix this. We need to fix that. One year, we went away, and I said to the guys, I said, look, what if we just think about what we're doing well and do that better? And that's the way we've done it ever since. You know, sure, there's always room for improvement, and you can do that, but you don't need to make that the focus of your business. You know, make the focus of your business. Play to your strength. You know, make the focus of your business what you're doing well. And what an attitude change that is.
That changes the entire tenor of the conversation. Last question, and it's one about social media. You've had this tremendous growth over the last year. If I'm somebody and I've got a business and I'm curious about that, I'm thinking about dipping my toe into the water of kind of this ever-changing vortex of social media. What are a couple of points of advice that you'd give?
Make sure that your social media efforts align with your strategy, with your mission and vision. You have to figure out, what do I want to accomplish? Is it aligned? Does Twitter, does Facebook, do these channels function well with whatever my particular strategy wants to be? I was talking with a guy the other day, CEO of a large hospital, and you know, they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do with Facebook, Twitter, and whatever? And the question really becomes, what is our strategy? Because we really want to keep things consistent. What I do face-to-face is gets extended. You don't want to do something online that you wouldn't do face-to-face. You know, so that's an important component. So if you value what can happen on the online context, then you're in good shape. The other thing maybe is understanding business is relationships. And all of this is about relationships. Twitter, Facebook, blogging. This is all about relationships. And it's got to be a two-way type of thing.
Well, speaking of social media, where are the best places for people to connect to you? The content you're creating, follow you on Twitter, blog. Tell us the locations where we can find the good stuff you're creating.
Well, my blog is Leadership Freak. I'm on the WordPress.com site. So if you go to Google and type Leadership Freak, you got it. Yeah, I mean, who else would it be?
Right. That's great. And then Twitter, Leadership Freak?
Twitter, Leadership Freak as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's always an honor to have leaders from all over the place, from all over walks of life, come in and share the things they've learned, especially when they're honest. It's nice that you get the sense that when you say, these are 30 years of things I wish I had done a little differently, you're not performing. You're saying, hey, I'm sharing things I've learned, and here's what I care about. And so it's nice for me and for the listeners to have an authentic leader come in and share real things they've learned over real years. So thank you so much for joining us, Dan.
Thank you, John.
Now that was worth flying Dan Rockwell in. That is some good information. Some key points that I loved hearing in there was recognize effort. You know, it's so funny that as leaders, again, like I say, we have no problem finding people doing things wrong. And some of us do a good job finding people doing things right. What if we recognized effort instead? People are going to mess up. People are going to work like crazy for you to make something happen. They're going to work their tails off to try and make you successful. And if all you do is nitpick them or find them doing things wrong, and from time to time say, well, hey, you did this right, that's still not enough. What if once they failed? What if once they were trying so hard to knock it out of the park, you came in and said, hey, listen, we've got to work on this. Obviously, it didn't work out. But the most important thing here is you worked like crazy to make that a success. What if we recognized the effort that they were putting in? It would change your leadership. It would change the way your team members look at you. The other thing I love that he said, focus on what you do well. Yes, we're always trying to figure out how do we fix the problems, especially as entrepreneurs and leaders. We're always trying to figure out what are the downsides? What are the things that we're not doing well? How do we fix those? How do we make those better? But here's a great thing. What if you focused on your strengths? If you're doing 10 different things and three of them are really, really good, but seven of them you're just struggling at, why do the seven? Focus on the three. Focus on the things you're doing well. Knock that out of the park. Work heavily on that. That is where your sweet spot is. So, just a couple of things today that hopefully will change the way you lead your people today. A couple of things that will hopefully change the way that you lead your leaders, lead your team members, lead your family. Some great information. Well, that is today's podcast, and we hope that you've enjoyed it. We are having a blast getting this out there, delivering this information to you. We hope you are as well. We would love to hear from you. Once again, there's a couple of ways that you can interact with us. Follow us on Twitter, at Entree Leadership. That is at ENTRE Leadership. Or send us your emails, podcast@entreleadership.com. Not only do we want to hear what you think about the podcast, that you think if it's good or if we stink, let us know. But we also want to hear your questions. We are answering those questions. I am answering some of those questions here on air. I'm answering a lot of those questions through posts on my blog, chrislocurto.com. So if you would like more information on leadership, like for more information on answering some of your questions, we're going to take those on air. We're going to answer some of those on the pod or on the blog as well. Also, head on over to the business section of DaveRamsey.com and sign up for your monthly newsletter. It's free. It's great information. There's always incredible stuff that we're pouring out in that as well. We're trying to get this information to you as many ways as possible. Plus, since you're listening to the podcast, if you have not yet hit subscribe, hit subscribe. That way you will not miss a single episode. And if you want more teaching from Dave right away, plan to attend one of our Entree Leadership events. You can check out EntreeLeadership.com for more information. Once again, we are having a blast delivering this to you. We're having a lot of fun giving you this information. We're hoping you're enjoying it as well. I do want to thank the incredible people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, who is our producer, which, by the way, Chris is the Chris I was talking about earlier about giving the card to his spouse after he'd been gone with me for 10 days. Colin Fatke, who is our incredible audio engineer. Becky Tennell, John Acuff, Dan Rockwell, and, of course, Dave Ramsey. Folks, put this information to work today. Start it with your team. Start it with your leadership. Start it with your family. Once again, we thank you. Have a fantastic day, and we will see you on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.
Are you ready to impact your business immediately? Then join me, Dave Ramsey, for Entree Leadership Defined, coming to a city near you this fall. In just 3 hours, I'll teach you how to build a more profitable business, manage your time, and lead a unified team free of gossip. You won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a profitable business. I guarantee this material will change the way you view your business and your leadership. This is how our company works, and I'll share with you directly from our championship playbook. It's why we win Best Place to Work every year, and how we started this thing from a card table in my living room to a major national brand. I'll be in Phoenix, Raleigh, and Grand Rapids this fall for Entree Leadership Defined. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.